Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management and Blackridge Asset Management LLC. Peak Broker Services LLC is not an affiliate of Independent Solutions or Financial Guys LLC.
You're listening to The Financial Guys.
We're $23 trillion in debt, honey. We don't have an extra surplus of money.
Newsflash, guys. Stop attacking businesses, because when all the businesses are gone, nobody's going to pay your salary anymore. You get that?
If the goal is to create a loser mentality, you're winning.
I'm going to build a big, beautiful wall with a big, beautiful door. Well, guess what? We have a big, beautiful door, all right? It's the wide
it's
open
90%.
Southern border, right?
Yeah.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
This is the Financial Guys podcast. I'm with Mike Lomas. This is the place where money meets politics, and we are going to talk a lot about politics today. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to talk a lot about the virus, of course, today. The new data that's out, that's super important. We're going to talk about some of the economic data. You had just mentioned talking about the stock market. Market's indicating down Tuesday morning. Markets aren't open yet. We'll see where it ends up. Indicated down yesterday, 500 points. Ended up flat to slightly up in certain, depending on the index. There's some buying pressure here, which is good. There's some support here, it seems. As prices get down, there's some institutions coming in and building a little bit of a base. So we'll see if this base we can build a base here that we can actually, I think, you know, move off of that base and the low may be in. But, you know, we'll see what the economic data looks like and how that plays out. We'll talk about that. But
we never believe in timing markets. And I'll be the first to say I can never do it and I don't know how to do it. But I'll tell you, there's so many economists out there that keep telling me we have to have a retest. It almost makes me bullish, but yeah. I'll be the first to say diversify your accounts, because, you know, we could get a rollover and a retest. I mean, most people are assuming we're going to have that because that's what traditionally happens, right? You get this run up, you get buyers, and you get people that bought low and they're like, wait a minute, I just made 20, 30% of my money. I'm out. And you get the market to roll back over. I will say, though, this is very different than anything we've done. I hear people say, well, we have to have a retest because we've always had a retest. And I'll say, well, I don't think we've ever had a market go down 40% in 3 weeks. So it's all new, right? There's two sides to this. One is the economic damage is way bigger than anybody is realizing, and the market has pre-anticipated, right? I mean, you're talking about Great Depression numbers where we had 80% discount on the stock market, right? I mean, but the other side of it is we have this massive government stimulus package that's going to hit. And so I think that the stock market is confused. It's confused like everybody else. Wait a minute, we have all this money that's going to hit the economy. Is it going to be enough to get us through? You're talking about like 35% of our GDP by the time we're done with our one-year GDP, by the time we're done with the Fed and all the money that's being pumped into this thing, right? So the market's trying to figure out, well, is it going to go to the right places? You know, how's it going to play itself out? There's no doubt it's going to be ugly. We've been saying forever, though, there's definitely going to be winners out of this mess, you know? And even if the unemployment rates are going to be higher, which they are, you know, there's a ton of people right now that are just being paid to sit at home. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to this. So this is great. Like, what do you mean this is great? Oh, well, I'm getting my unemployment plus another $600. I mean, you know what? Like, you know, you don't understand the economic ramifications of that down the road. And I've said this, by the way, for weeks. Go back to our podcast. I'm not as worried about today. I'm not as worried about a year from now. We'll get through this and the market will recover. They just infuse a lot of money. I'm more worried about our kids. I mean, you're talking about ringing up trillions of dollars worth of debt. And there's some folks out there that like Warren Buffett that say debt doesn't matter. I disagree with them. I think it does matter. It's just going to matter when it matters, right? I mean, all of a sudden people are going to go, wait a minute, who's going to pay all this stuff off? Could be 20 years from now. Could be 10 years from now. I don't know. But at some point we're going to go, we should pay that off. Oh, crap. Nobody can, right?
Yeah, the theme is it's okay until it's not okay. And that not only applies to your portfolio, but it applies to the economic situation as well, right? And the fiscal damage that's being done with, you know, the $5 trillion we're pumping in. It's okay until it's not okay. And someday it won't be okay. You know, when sovereign debt starts to go under, that's going to be a big issue. Whether that happens this year or sometime in the future, I think you're right. It's probably sometime in the future. But I mean, let's be honest. We went through the last crisis in 2008, 2009, and every European Union country talked about fiscal responsibility, right? They were going to, have these austerity budgets. Remember the austerity? Not a single European nation cut a nickel from any of their budgets. Every single year following for the last 12 years, their budgets have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Yep. They have grown their GDP at less than 1%. And as a result, they are not at all having a – they're like New York, right? We talk about this all the time. If this is the good – if you're growing at 0.3% growth and you have 8% unemployment in the good times, What do you think happens in the bad times? And we've talked about New York for, I don't know, 2 years now? I mean,
20
the
years.
Last years, 20 years. But specifically, Mike, the last several years, we had these Andrew Cuomo giant budget gaps. This year, Andrew had to fill a $3 to $5 billion budget gap by April 1st. What a godsend for him this virus has been. Because as soon as the virus hit and he declared a state of emergency, he granted himself unlimited budgetary powers that basically said that that April 1st deadline, that no longer applies, even though it's in the state constitution. That's fine. Don't worry about that. And now all the states are going to the Fed saying, I need $15 billion. Yeah. You know, the sad thing is states like Florida won't need near that amount of money.
No.
States like Texas won't need near that amount of money. You know, California and New York, as you said, Mike, they're going to use this as an opportunity for bailouts. Illinois, by the way, threw in $10 billion of pension support, right? What's that do with coronavirus? Their pensions have been underwater for a decade.
Well, first of all,
to do about the coronavirus.
By the way,
we should call it the Wuhan virus. Let's make sure we call it accurate. I don't want to call it COVID. I don't want to call it Corona. Let's make sure we call it by the proper name, and that is the Wuhan Chinese virus. That's what it is. That's where it originated, and that's what it is. So this COVID, by the way, COVID-19, that was a name made up by the World Health Organization at the urging of communist China. So we'll call it the Wuhan virus going forward.
To your point, by the way, about the pensions, if a pension is managed under the prudent man rule, which it's supposed to be, what a prudent man would do, it should be in a good balanced portfolio, right? Our balanced portfolio, I was doing a review with a client yesterday, where our balanced portfolio is down about 6% over a 12-month period. Am I happy about that? Of course not, right? I'd love to be up every year. But, you know, if we're managing that pension and we're a balanced portfolio, 6% down year isn't throwing off the pension estimates. Yeah. We're basing that pension on, you know, a 6 or 7% or a 5-6% growth rate over a 10-year period, assuming we're going to have one or two bad years.
But they've had it. They've had that growth rate. We've been in a bull market for 10 years.
Right.
Like you said, they've had deficits because they were overfunding in the good years. Mm-hmm. Now that you have one bad stock market year and all of a sudden it's a catastrophe. Chicago is going to go bankrupt, right?
Oh, yeah. I said 3 weeks ago, we can go back on the tapes. I said these states are going to use Corona as an excuse to default on some of the bonds. They're talking yesterday about, Andrew's talking about he's going to have to make cuts. Not once did I hear his goddamn salary. Not once.
Think about what he talked about.
By the way, we have all these state officials, Glenn. We have all these state officials that don't do shit because he's got all the power in the world, right? So not once did he say we're going to cut welfare or his income. Not once. It was all about the parks, the police department. He's going to hit the police department because he knows these police officers don't support him and his buddy de Blasio, right? So, oh, my God. God forbid you cut welfare.
The first thing you talk about, Mike, was we're going to have to cut firefighters and police officers and hospitals. Next thing you know, it'll be parks, recreation, anything to hurt you, the taxpayer, because if you get out of line, we want to put you back under our thumb and control. So we're going to take away those things until you cry uncle and say, please take more of my money because I want my park back.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
People are going to say, I want my park back. I'm going to go to Florida. I want my park back. I'm going to go to Tennessee. I want my park back. I'm going to go
to Georgia, Glenn. They're opening this week. How about Georgia?
South Carolina.
By the way, about economic revenue coming back, the states like Florida and Texas will come back harder, right? It's just like the good business, bad business, right? Good businesses out of this stored some cash. They ran a good business model. They're not broke. And yes, they're going to look for opportunities during this. They're going to try to scoop up some of the companies that, you know, maybe have a good client base, but don't have the best of economics. Well, guess what's going to happen with the states, right? Get ready for Florida and Texas and, you know, the states that have handled their economic balance sheets the right way, that have welcomed money. And by the way, don't tell me that those places are global warming, you know, nasty places. We have an office down in Florida. We spend a lot of time back and forth to Florida. They plant more trees in Florida than they ever plant in New York. Last time I was there, I was going to cry because I'm a big tree nut. I love trees, and it makes me cry because all these liberals in the states like New York cut down every goddamn tree to build a, you know, instead of like planting it out the right way, right? So I'm driving around our office, Jupiter, and with one of the main stretches, I saw, you know, them just lining it with trees, right? I'm thinking, gosh, it's funny. How are they able to plant trees without with zero state tax? Zero. They're redoing the roads, but
during the virus lockdown, Mike. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. While the roads are empty, what a good time to do road repairs.
That's right.
let's see. While we're all locked in our home, you'll notice that my office is a different color. This is my home office that I'm in right now, right? We put up new bookshelves. We did a painting job. This is my Florida home office, right?
Yeah.
I have the Buffalo home office as well, and then I have offices in both places also. But, you know, trying to do the whole social distancing and work from home type of thing. Well, we took the opportunity while we were home last weekend for Easter, and I painted the office, right? We put up new bookshelves, painted the office, remodeled. We can do that in Florida because if you're going to go to Home Depot, you can pick up paint. Not in New York. You go to Home Depot in New York, you can't even buy paint. That's punishment, folks.
Yeah.
That's not being smart. That's being stupid. Look at Governor Whitmer in Michigan, right? Mm-hmm. You can't go for all kinds of things, but you can still go get an abortion. That's okay.
That's right.
Right?
No social distancing there when you got two
of them replaced. You can't get your knee replaced. You can't get your hip replaced. No. In fact, you're not even supposed to go in for most. And that's the thing that people are saying now with these doctors, you know, not to switch gears too quickly, but just to move on and talk about this because I'm going to forget. All these hospitals right now are empty, right? And these folks, not where the COVID places are. I mean, those hospitals are full, but for the most part, the places that don't have, you know, large instances of COVID, you know, the question, I read an article, they're talking about where do all the heart attacks go?
Yeah.
Where do all the appendicitis go, right?
That's right.
One of the doctors said, look, we're seeing, normally we'll see appendicitis, like 10 to 20% are presenting late stage appendicitis, which means they need emergency surgery, which is much, much, much more dangerous than doing it in schedule. Why? Because people are staying home because they're petrified to go to the hospital. Now we have this study out of California. I think it was Stanford, but I'm not quite sure. I don't remember exactly. Where they just did this random 3,300 person testing. They're doing similar tests in Massachusetts and New York. These are huge, huge, massive studies, which are super important. And the results are unbelievable. Here's the results. We've been saying this for a while. There's probably a lot more people that have it, but we're not testing that don't know that have it, which means that this 1% to 3% death rate is going to be off by levels of magnitude. Huge numbers off, yeah. Right? Sure enough, the study in I think it was in the LA County or something, somewhere between, you know, 3% to 4% of the population already had it. They estimate that they were off by something like 55 to 80 times, right? Meaning that somewhere in the range of, you know, 250,000 to 440,000 people have it. So if you use the high end of the range and say 440,000 people have already had it, and you look at the death rate and compared to that, the death rate based on that estimate comes down to 0.1 to about 0.2%, somewhere in that range.
Less than the normal flu.
0.1 is the normal flu. So 0.1 is the normal flu. You'd be right in line with the normal flu. Now, this virus is vicious, no question. And it's attacking old people in mass, right? The estimates originally that came out from the University of Washington, which, by the way, came out this week and said, the New York Times had an article, University of Washington expecting new estimates that New York can open by mid-June. Are you out of your mind? This is the same University of Washington, by the way, that initially predicted 1.2 to 1.7 million U.S. deaths.
Even with
that included...
The social distancing, yeah.
Yes, including the social distancing. Now they came out and said they're expecting 60,000 deaths.
Right.
60,000 deaths is in line with the flu. It's in line with car accidents.
Yep.
You know, we've been able to lower.
We had 80,000 2 years ago. Nobody blinked an eye.
Right.
The funny thing is, Glenn, you were talking about or looking at, you know, these folks like Andrew Cuomo who are going to listen to those studies, right? That's the shame of it is. He will put us on lockdown. I'm telling you, and I quote me on this weeks ago. I said he is going to use this as an excuse to bankrupt the state. So his economic stupidity gets glossed right over, right? Nobody's talking about the Tesla plant that we pissed away $1 billion in the city of Buffalo. Nobody's talking about the vacant plant in Syracuse right now, right? It's all about Corona.
Yep.
None of his economic problems would have happened if it wasn't for Corona. What really pisses me off, though, is he posts a picture, and he talked about it Sunday, about him having dinner with his family. Now, he's got his daughter's boyfriend comes over for dinner. If that isn't a slap in everybody's face, he's telling you should quarantine yourself in the basement with the lights off, yet he's around prating around town, and then he's inviting his daughter's boyfriend over for dinner. Right? What a bunch of bullshit that is. If anybody falls for this, shame on you. If anybody is like, he's our hero, shame on you.
Mike de Blasio, if you're one of those sheep, which you wouldn't be listening to this show, but if you're one of the, if you know sheep out there, right, you know them, you hear them on social media, they're all over the place. I can't believe you're talking about
And their hatred for opening the economy. I've never seen anything like this, by the way. These people
are vicious.
They are disgusting. I mean, we're talking about on Saturday, we talked about a proactive plan to slowly start to open the economy, but let's put together a proactive plan. We're getting death threats. Are you kidding me? We're not telling people to go out and stab somebody. We're talking about saving businesses. And by the way, saving lives. For once, be smart enough to start to look at the overall picture. You know, people that are going to pass away from COVID, but the people who are now passing away from drug overdoses, alcoholism, anxiety and depression, suicides are
up. Really sad story, Mike, out of California we talked about last week. 15-year-old girl attributed to coronavirus was devastated that she lost her schoolwork and all the stuff. She was very active in school and just a real sad.
It was depression. She went into a state of depression.
There's a lot of people suffering out there in a lot of different ways, more so than just COVID. And strike that word.
Yeah.
Not so much at the Wuhan Chinese virus.
China.
Make sure I get that right. China. but these folks that are subservient to their overlord government masters. Okay, well, you tell me to sit down, I'll sit down. You tell me to hide in my house, I'll hide in my house.
Yeah.
They don't seem to have any problem with Governor Cuomo having a family dinner and posting the picture. Nope. They have no problem, by the way. De Blasio last week, or I think yesterday maybe, was going into his YMCA because you're his honor, right? Your highness, you know, please go in. He spent from 8:30 to 10:30. Now, Mike, you work out a lot, right? And I don't, but yet I do see you in the office, usually about 8:30, 9 o'clock is what time we get in, right? Yep. So I have never seen you go to the gym at 8:30 and show up at the office at 10:30 on a Monday. De Blasio did that. I'm sorry, that was last Wednesday.
Now I can't go to the gym.
So that's the thing. So he can go to the gym. That's okay for his, you know, because he's Keith's royalty. You peasants cannot. De Blasio has been spotted walking through Central Park, which is closed to everybody else, right?
Yep.
What's his name? Stephanopoulos. George Stephanopoulos has been tested positive for the Wuhan Chinese virus, right? Last week he tested positive. He was spotted out for a stroll in his neighborhood on Long Island.
Why not?
Because
why not?
With no mask on, right? Those liberals that say, it's not just about you. If you want to get sick, that's fine. You're infecting other people. You could potentially be infecting other people. They won't say a thing about Georgie because he's their buddy. They won't say a thing about Cuomo's brother, Fredo, who is also outside having tested positive when he should have been quarantined inside of his. They won't say a thing about Fredo, but if somebody else wants to go downtown with a sign on their car and protest and say, hey, open this up, you're being tyrannical about this, then all of a sudden you're somehow, you know, want to murder other people because you might
have. We'll post on Facebook or Twitter if we can the press briefing from de Blasio the other day, and there's about a 3-minute clip where he answers a question and he tells the true story of what this is all about. He talks about the fact that when we come out of this, we have to make sure we redistribute wealth better. He talks about making sure we take your cars. Cars are the problem.
Yep.
He talks about this is just the start, folks, because global warming is going to be way, 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 way worse. So I need your money. I need your cars. This state of panic is all about setting us up for global warming and what's going to happen next. You have to, we got to post it. It's really scary. I mean, this guy's nuts. I mean, he's literally insane, right? But he talks about, he answers it. He says, look, we need to make sure that when we come out of this, New York looks very different. I'm like, holy crap. Like, how much different could it look? Like, how much more do you want to redistribute, right? He goes, nope, we need to, the plan is we need to redistribute money better. We need to make things more fair. That's always their, you know, their theme word, fair. We need to take away your cars too. Yeah, because stuffing everybody in a subway box, that really did a lot of good.
That seemed to help the spread, I think. I think that really, you know, cramming everyone into a subway station.
Really scary, really, Glenn. I don't know if you saw it, but if you watch that clip, it will tell you everything about it. And by the way, Hayden, we've got some friends who are really trying to push to get parts of the economy open, just parts, not all the parts, right? You know, and I cannot believe the death threats, the hatred out there. It's really sad. And I think, you know,
they won't say
left-wing nut jobs that are saying, oh, they just care about the stock market. No, that's not true. We're caring about everybody's health, right? And there's a much bigger picture to look at. And if you're just going to look at that little sliver of flu, you're going to miss millions of people that die from everything else. And it's happening, folks. I read an article the other day. People are dying because they're drinking cleaners now. I mean, there's an excess. And to your point, by the way, we actually had a client of a client who passed away from heart problems and didn't get the help they needed. And that's
what he could have survived. He was supposed to go in for a routine heart procedure. They canceled his heart procedure. He ended up going in 3 weeks later for emergency surgery for that same issue, and he didn't survive, sadly.
Too late.
There's stories like that all over the country, whether it's that young 15-year-old girl in California, breaks my heart, that committed suicide.
Now we're falsifying the numbers, right? Yeah. So we're adding
Let me say this for a second. This is important. The liberals I'm seeing on Twitter are still talking about people sharing ventilators. They are there is no hospital in the country right now that is short of ventilators.
We're sending them overseas.
They're detached from reality, Mike.
Yep.
They are absolutely – what they're hearing in the media, what they act as if you touch somebody, you're dead. You're dead. Yep. Like, don't go outside. This is like from the movie. It's outrageous. Yep. Let me tell you something, folks, and this is important. I forgot to mention this on Saturday.
I said that weeks ago, by the way, Glenn. Said it weeks ago. This is not new. We're not looking backwards, by the way. You can go back to podcast 4 weeks ago, and I said, holy crap. I cannot believe people are acting like this. They act like HIV is flying through the air. And if I breathe on you, you're going to get HIV without a cure. I mean, it's really.
Let me say this. Let me talk about the virus itself for just a second, because the media, along with the Chinese communists, I should say it this way, the Chinese communist government, along with their accomplices in the U.S. media, are trying their best. I saw an article where, this thing didn't even originate in China. Well, this has been around for quite some time, and this has been BS. Let me tell you where this originated, okay? This originated in the Wuhan laboratory is where this originated. There's absolute evidence that in that laboratory, they were studying coronaviruses. There is a plethora of information all over the place. Dr. Fauci, by the way, funded some of that research, right? As well as our National Institute of Health and Human Services, whatever it's called.
Right? To the tune of millions of dollars. Millions of dollars just for that one research project.
Just for one research. Now, I'm not saying it was intentional, so don't misunderstand. No. I'm not saying that the Chinese communist government intentionally released the virus, but they did intentionally cover it up.
Yes.
What likely happened was there was a breach in that research facility. Some researcher there had maybe a rip in the suit that they were wearing, or somehow they didn't follow protocols of protective equipment. It happens. It got on them. They got infected. They didn't realize it. They went amongst the community, and that's how it spread, right? If those who don't believe me, by the way, for those of you that say, oh, my God, that's crazy theory, I want you to read this book. It's by Richard Preston. It's called The Hot Zone. It's a true story. It's a great book. There is a research facility, a very similar level 4, which is the highest level of pathogens, a dangerous level. So there's 4 levels, 1, 2, 3, and 4, right? The 4th level is like Ebola, right? Smallpox, right? Anthrax, like the dangerous of the dangerous are these level 4 facilities. There's a level 4 facility right in downtown DC that studies Ebola. Well, guess what? In the early 1990s, 91, 92-ish, there was a breach of that facility, and they didn't realize that Ebola could actually transmit through the air. They have a research facility there that's full of primates. They ended up having to kill every single – it was this close to escaping the lab. They had everything on lockdown around it. They circled it with, you know, military hit everything from everybody. It didn't come out until a decade later when they did all the FOIA requests and they got information on the particular thing. But if you don't believe how a virus can hop a lab like that and how dangerous it is, please go read the book by Richard Preston called The Hot Zone. He's done several other hot zones about SARS and other books. But the book I'm referring to was printed in 98, 99, somewhere in there. And it's originally about the original Ebola research facility in D.C., right in D.C. Imagine if that had escaped that facility, what kind of damage it potentially would. So I understand the fear of the politicians and of the fear of our community. But every single person is unanimous from what I'm hearing in the intelligence community, that everybody in the intelligence community and unanimous, you rarely ever hear unanimous. They all agree that this came from this lab.
Well, the sad thing is, though, is that the sad part about it is they let everybody fly all around the country, yet they protected themselves, right?
That's right. So and they quarantined
that town off So they wouldn't get infected. But yet, if you wanted to fly out of there and go to New York City or LA or Palm Beach, you were welcome to go, right? We should be holding them accountable on every level, including financially. I mean, we owe them money. The first thing is we're not paying it back. Sorry.
The Chinese Communist government is so crooked. Brutal. Let me talk about how brutal they are. Let's go past crooked, okay? There was reports coming out of China, and I absolutely believe them, that they were basically putting people in body bags that weren't even dead yet and sending them to the incinerators. That's probably true. We know that there was a head-on train collision some years ago in China, right? Tucker Carlson reported on this week. The trains fell off the track, hundreds of people probably dead, thousands potentially. The Chinese government covered it up, saying they found out later that it was faulty construction because they did shoddy work and whatnot. Well, instead of actually rescuing the people out of the trains, Mike, they brought in track hose and bulldozers, dug a ginormous hole, and pushed all the trains with still surviving people on the train into the ditch and covered it up and buried them alive.
Unreal.
That Unreal. Is a brutality of a communist regime. Disgusting. I don't care if it's Stalin, let's not forget, or Xi Jinping, or Mao Zedong, right? Yep. Millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people have died at the hands of tyrannical communist governments, right? That's why we have a constitution in this country. That's why we have a Second Amendment in this country. Yeah. That's
what
why.
What about the First Amendment that they're trampling all over right now?
Right. Well, that's why this country was formed, because of the tyrannical governments. In this case, yep. It was the British tyrannical government and the European tyrannical governments, more about religious persecution, which is still going on to this day in this country, sadly, right? But those freedoms that we hold are so important to us in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution are there to protect us against that kind of government. Oh, it can never happen, Glenn. Oh, really? Yeah. Really? You know, we're always one election away from going the way of Venezuela, right? Where they start.
We're about a half of an election.
We're real close now. We're real close now. There's a woman in New Jersey that was organizing a rally and that was, criticizing the government. They arrested her, Mike. They arrested her. That's scary. Facebook is now announced that they are going to remove any content as misinformation that tries to organize any sort of freedom rally against the state's capital, against the Chinese.
Well, how about this? New York suspends pistol permits, right?
Right.
What's Remington?
Oh, but that can't happen.
No, that can't happen. No, they would never take your guns. We're pro hunters. We're fine. Yeah.
This has been a great test for the socialist New World Order. And I'm sad to say that most of the American sheep fell right in line with, okay, government masters, you tell me what to do. Okay, we didn't need somebody to force us to stay home. We all know better, right? Yeah. We're an essential business, and yet we're working mainly from home. We're not taking extra risks that we need to.
We're responsible adults. Even before they shut things down, Glenn, we went through the office and said, does anybody have any conditions we've got to worry about? Any, health?
In fact, we sent people home before they even announced any sort of shutdowns in New York. In our office, we sent some key employees home before New York even went to – in fact, I don't know what the date was. I go back and look. The Friday that they announced no more than 50 people, right, the previous Wednesday, 2 days before they even announced no big gatherings, they hadn't even gone to a 50% closure yet, right? We had already started sending key employees home to mitigate the risk not only to our office staff but also to our business, which potentially impacts our clients, okay? So we, as conservatives, responsible business owners and adults, can take precautions. The problem is that liberals, for the most part, are children, right? They want to be told what to do because they can't really think for themselves, right? Those are the folks that are drinking the drain cleaner. Those are the folks that are putting their finger in the light socket. Those are the folks that are eating paint chips. That we all have to, that's when you hear these governments say, we can't open the beaches because there's stupid people out there. Why am I lumped in with the lowest common denominator? I know enough to stay away from people.
There's two sides to that left. One is they understand exactly what they're doing right now, right?
Yeah, well,
they understand that this is a crisis and they can take advantage of it. As de Blasio said, we're going to make sure that this thing looks very different on the other side. That's one side of the left. The other side, just completely clueless, right?
Yeah.
Mark Poloncarz, by the way, is one of them. I heard him on his press conference yesterday. He said, I can't believe a bar would open. Why would a bar or a restaurant try to open? And I'm thinking,
I don't know, Mark. Maybe because their bills are due at home, their mortgage. Maybe they need to feed their family. Maybe the mortgage is due on the property. Maybe the utility bills are due. Maybe the insurance bill is due. Well, maybe the tax bill is due, right? Remember that, Marky? Because you're still collecting your paycheck. Yeah. I mean, right. To say something that dumb, to say right. something that dumb, why would, because their whole life has been wrapped into this and you're shoving it down the toilet. Right. That's why, right?
They're that's why they're open. Circle the drain, Mark. They're watching their business circle the drain while you're out there riding your bike and doing whatever and going to whatever gym. I'm sure
collecting your paycheck. Every one of these people are collecting their paychecks. Every single one of these folks that criticize the left have been collecting a government paycheck. Most
Cuomo
of them
gave himself a raise. Cuomo just gave himself a raise.
Right. That's right.
Let me say this: if they start cutting police and teachers and firefighters and closing parks,
it's over.
Not taking a paycheck themselves. I'm just saying. If Cuomo doesn't take a pay cut, if Poloncarz doesn't take a pay cut, if Mayor Brown doesn't take a pay cut, if every single legislator in New York State, both Republican and Democrat, doesn't take a pay cut before they cut one officer's salary or one teacher's salary, then we need to be at the Capitol by the tens of thousands with pitchforks and torches demanding that Cuomo step down.
Yep.
That is, they will do whatever they can to put, they'll take that $15 billion and they'll cut everything that's the most important to us. And they will touch not a single one of their benefits. You know, Governor Cuomo really cared about the budget. He wouldn't have taken a huge salary increase.
That's right.
These clowns, whether it be Sean Ryan or these clowns in the Senate, take a pay cut, guys, step up and lead by example and say, we're going to be in a budget shortfall. Be the first to propose. Maybe Dave DiPietro will do this. He's the only one with integrity in the legislature anymore. Maybe he can propose a 20% across the board cut for all elected officials. I'm talking about the Amherst Town Supervisor to the right down to the board member at the tiniest little West Seneca, whatever. I don't care. Every single political salary, if your salary is tied to government, and you're an elected official. I'm not talking about the government workers here. I'm not talking about teachers. You guys are working hard. You don't deserve a pay cut, right? You're out there collecting garbage. You're putting yourself at risk. You're doing whatever you got to do. Whatever. You're working on the highway department, whatever. You don't deserve a pay cut, right? You didn't cause this. You didn't volunteer to shut down. Cuomo did, right?
Yeah.
Poloncarz did. They should be taking a pay cut first.
That's what real leadership does, by the way, right? That's what real leadership does. It says, you know what? You don't say, oh, I don't understand why a bar would want to not. Without giving yourself a cut, right? If I'm Mark right now, I'm saying, look, I understand everybody's pain in the community, and I'm not rich. I can't fund you all. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to reduce my salary by 50% or 60% to try to give back in some way, shape, or form. I'd have a ton more respect for that. But when you give yourself a raise and you make sure your check is going in, but you don't give a crap about any restaurant that's surviving, shame on you. Yeah. And everybody else that's attacking these businesses, they're attacking them. I mean, you know, we're death threats if they open. I mean, do you understand all your freedoms are based on that? I mean, if this stuff doesn't open and I hear people like de Blasio go, I'm not really sure about July or August. Okay, well, guess what? If it's July or August, don't even bother opening. Don't even bother because it's over. It's over. It's over. Wall Street has moved to Palm Beach. Georgia is doing just fine. Texas is bigger than ever and stronger than ever, although I'm sure a lot of these libs will move there and, you know, vote the same way because they're mentally ill. So, you know, that's the challenge that you've got to worry about, that they destroy New York and then leave and destroy some other place. But because they're capable of that for sure. There's no doubt about that.
Mike, there's one thing I want to play here. I'm not sure if you'll be able to hear it or not, but I put it to our Twitter feed. And by the way, folks, if you want to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, we're on YouTube as well. You may be watching this on YouTube. If that's the case, we appreciate it. Please, by the way, hit the like button, the thumbs up button, subscribe to our channel and share this, because the liberal outrage mob is trying to shut down everybody. And to that point, Mayor de Blasio put this tweet out. How do you report places that aren't enforcing social distancing? It's simple. Just snap a photo and text it to 311-692.
That's so cute.
I saw a photo of him and his wife, Charlene, who's the fleeced New York City taxpayer. Do you realize he gave his wife, with no experience whatsoever, $1.2 billion of taxpayer money to set up this health organization, which has been a total and complete failure. absolute financial.
Yeah, they're fine. They're just fine, folks. Yeah, but when we take it out of this and they redistribute your wealth. By the way, if you can see, we should also report Andrew Cuomo for inviting his daughter's boyfriend over to dinner on Sunday.
Yeah, somebody sent that report.
Horrible offense, right? And by the way, Andrew's hair still, and I've commented on this every week, beautiful hairdo. I mean, him and de Blasio, by the way, I've never seen anybody whose hair doesn't grow during a crisis, right?
Yeah, so I'm sure they're still going in for their manicures.
Well, of course they are. Andy's the dining room table is just breathtaking. I mean, how do you afford such a beautiful place in one of the most expensive areas in the country by never owning your own company and just being a, you know, a politician your whole life? I mean, pretty amazing.
Isn't it hard? It's amazing. Yeah. Let me do this. I gotta change one thing here. I gotta hit the share computer sound, and good. Let me just play this because this is actually frightening. Well, we play this for a friend of ours. I wanted to get him on the podcast today. We'll do it next week. We'll get Tony on next week. When Tony heard that government officials in the United States were asking other people to turn in their neighbors, I swear to God, he teared up. I could tell he was actually scared. He was born in communist Cuba. He knows what it means for a communist regime to have you know, encourage your neighbors to rat on you. His family has seen political dissidents in Cuba picked up by the Gestapo and taken away, never to be seen again, put into political prisons and tortured, if ever released, if not killed altogether. That's what a communist regime does. And when you start to hear people like de Blasio say, it's easy, snap a photo and turn them in, we'll stop by to educate them through enforcement. This is disgusting. Let me play this clip.
Didn't the mob used to do that?
Wait, so what's that, Mike?
Didn't the mob used to do that? They used to stop by and educate people.
No, the mob used to actually, you know, keep businesses operating and then just collect actual money off the top and basically take protection money, right?
Right.
The mob never actually said snitch on your neighbor, to my knowledge, so I can pick them up. No, that's not how it worked.
That's a good point. That was the opposite.
I think it was the opposite. I think it was a snitch. You ended up in the trunk of a car and in the
you don't snitch.
Let me play de Blasio here. Look at how smart he is, Mike. Look at him. Look at the genius in his face. Look at that look right there. Just says, I am smarter than you.
Yeah. Is it his house, I wonder?
I should still be able to walk in Central Park. I can still go to the gym because I am better than you are. Sorry.
And I'm just curious to see what we bought him as taxpayers in New York. Is that his picture behind there from the $2 billion? That's what's left over?
I'm sure.
I always like to see what I bought him.
This is chilling.
New Yorkers, you have been extraordinary at social distancing. And let me tell you, it has taken every fiber of our beings to figure out how to do this because...
Whose beings? Not your being.
You're still going to the gym. You're going to the gym. You're doing all the stuff you need to do. You're walking through the park, buddy.
I can't even stand this guy. I really can't.
Nah, makes me sick. We've got to get that other clip done.
An amazing job. Really now, look, thank you, everyone who's done it the right way, but we still know there's some people who need to get the message. And that means sometimes making sure the enforcement is there to educate people and make clear we got to have social distancing. So now it is easier than ever. When you see a crowd, when you see a line that's not distance, when you see a supermarket that's too crowded, anything, you can report it right away so we can get help there to fix the problem. And now it's as simple as taking a photo. All you got to do is take the photo and put the location with it. And
we will make sure that
enforcement comes right away. Text the photo to 311-692 and action will ensue.
Who wants to live in this city? So really, truly, now you're taking pictures of me because I might have gotten too close to somebody and you're going to send the enforcers out. Sign me up for that. I'd love to spend my days on a sweaty subway car and then have to go home to find out I've got enforcers waiting at the front door because I got too close to somebody.
And you get an extra tax for that, Mike. You get an extra utility tax for that. As a consolation prize. Isn't that great?
Somebody's got to pay. Well, what do the enforcers make? I want to be an enforcer. Maybe that's my next job.
Right, the enforcer.
Yeah. I wonder what they make. I wonder what the pension is there.
Enforcement will come to get the help we need. Look at that.
That's scary. That is scary.
To get the help we need.
By the way, can you pause that for a second? Look, there's nobody that has more respect for police officers than me.
Of course.
But at some point, guys and girls, you know what? You signed up to defend our Constitution. It's time to do that, right? It's time to say enough is enough, right?
You sign up to be brown shirts to defend the tyrants in Washington.
That's right.
You're right.
Trampling over my First Amendment right to assemble. You are flushing it down the toilet and ripping it up every single day. Enough is enough. You can tell guys like this, who you don't like anyways, to go to hell. He's not going to support you.
Well, they will.
One step of the way, right? It's time to say enough is enough.
There's not a single New York City police officer in the fine NYPD that's going to show up at a supermarket or a gas station or anywhere else and say, please disperse.
They are, Glenn. They are. I was down in South Florida. They are going down the beach. Literally, people are sitting in
South Florida. You're right. But New York City.
Telling them to get out.
But the NYPD hates de Blasio. They hate him. They hate him. They're not doing
anything. It's time for the best and the finest to say, screw you, enough.
I'm going to go for a walk today. I'm going to think down there and just maybe I'll just stand there for a while.
There's people, by the way, there's people down in South Florida that were sitting in their cars the other day. One was sitting on the top of his Jeep. Yep. In a car parking spot in front of the beach, not on the beach. Beach was closed. Sitting on his car, and a police officer said, "You got to get out of here. You're not allowed to do that." So they're drinking the Kool-Aid. Got to stop. The message has got to be okay. Enough is enough. Here's what we signed up to defend, and it wasn't this clown.
Yeah, no doubt. Let me play the rest of this clip. This is chilling. This is really chilling. Yeah. I bet you they get 1,000 pictures of de Blasio and Cuomo violating exactly what they're preaching to everybody else for every one photo of an actual violation.
Yeah.
An app, send that photo there, and you'll make sure immediately there's follow-up. Look, this is important. I want to keep reminding people. It's about saving lives. Sending that photo in is going to help make sure that people are kept apart, and that's going to stop the disease from spreading, and that's going to save lives.
Sure it is. How come it didn't save lives in New York City, by the way, though? How come New York has by far more cases than anywhere else? How come in Virginia, by the way, if it's about saving lives, Virginians can't even leave their homes to do anything. They're expecting 800 deaths in that state. Yeah. They have less than 1,000 cases in the state, and everybody in the state is on lockdown. This, when you look at the governors and the mayors that have seized on the opportunity to capture the power, it's all the Democrats. It's the Governor Cuomo. It's Governor Whitmer. It's the governor of Minnesota. It's the mayor of New York City. It's the mayor of Chicago, right? Every Democrat in this country, you watch, they all call Trump a tyrant. They all call the Republicans, I want to be dictators. They all say that we wanted to, you know, shred the Constitution, be dictators and run the country and get rid of elections. But yet it's all the Democrats that have absolutely seized unlimited power and have exercised that power to say you can't do things like buy paint.
Top line leadership matters, Glenn. And it's funny because when we talk to, we've got financial planners all over the country. And when I talk to them, they'll go, geez, I see your governor on TV all the time, right? I'm like, yeah, he likes the space, right? But what he also likes to do is scare the crap out of people, right? He likes to be the king leader and he's getting the airtime, right? So when you look at these states, you know, the good states are managing it appropriately, like the governor of Florida, right? He's on TV saying, look, if you get a chance to support some of these businesses that are struggling, if you're in a position where you've got some extra money, please, you know, order some takeout, do what you can, right? That's solid leadership, right? He's also on TV saying, look, we're going to get through this. And we're, more importantly, developing an economic plan to start to layer people back to work, as opposed to Andy, who's, oh my God, we don't have enough ventilators. Oh my God, the hospitals are overwhelmed. By the way, not to take anything away from the doctors out there and the nurses. I know you too. You folks are working hard, and I know you're doing everything you can. But I'm really sick and tired of seeing pictures of Italy and the hospital systems there that are overwhelmed and telling us that they're the systems.
Don't believe it, Mike.
Right. I'm really sick and tired of seeing pictures of Italy and them being passed off as ECMC. It's not overwhelmed. It's not. I've seen pictures of doctors dancing in the hallways, and I'm all for that. Keep your spirits up, but don't tell me, you know, first of all, the boat that had to come that we said wouldn't be there and was there in 5 days.
USS Comfort.
Has not been used, right? The extra hospitals have not been used. The ventilators that we had to have, that Trump said, you have plenty, pull them out of storage, are now being sent overseas, right? Now they've opened up some beaches in Florida, and instead of the media showing the right picture of, that's people are social distancing, they're slowly going back and using it. Yeah. They put a picture out of an LA beach from a year ago with tons of people on it. I mean, it's just shame after shame after shame when it comes to this mainstream media and the mismanagement of it and the scary of it. And it's all driven by the left. But your point is that those left-wing governors that are seizing power, they're also seizing the media. They're taking every opportunity to scare the crap out of you. Cuomo was on the other day. You posted it. He opened up by saying it's Saturday. Give me a break.
Right. It's Saturday.
We've been in this hell and nobody knows where we are. It's Saturday. Give me a break.
Facts. Today is Saturday. That's a fact. There might be people that dispute that fact, but it is Saturday.
There's more body bags. By the way, we're having a protest all over the country, and I'm hearing from the media. These protesters, the first responders are not going to be able to get through. Really? Because
not a single place.
In the city of Buffalo the other day, and I got to be honest with you, the city of Buffalo is pretty much vacant Monday through Friday when the economy's open. But when the economy's not open, malls closed.
Did you see tumbleweeds go down the street?
Mark? Yeah, I mean, when you hear these folks, you would think that there's body bags in the streets, and we're carrying dead people because they're just dying everywhere from Corona, right? What a bunch of bullshit! You don't need first responders in City Hall. There's nobody there. There's nobody there Monday through Friday. It's open, but it's closed. There's nobody there.
There's no essential businesses surrounding that Niagara Square. They're all closed.
None. I can't think of a better place to protest. Nobody's there, right? First responders. There's no first responders there. The only people are down there are the protesters. Let them be. Like, what a great place to protest.
Nobody got another car. By the way, that downtown protester, and I'm not going to call any names out, but there's a few folks on BEN that absolutely, personally, I felt insulted. To say that somehow people, us knuckle-dragging conservatives are too stupid to be safe about a protest, that was pretty insulting. I got to be honest. And I really think that they owe an apology to all the conservative listeners that participated, the ones especially, that didn't get out of their car, that didn't crowd together, that did it in a respectful way. I really thought that was a bit insulting to the BEN core listener. When they said, we're too ignorant and stupid, apparently, to not hold a protest. But look, when it comes to Michigan, they did shut down downtown. They did get out of their cars. They did pack the inner city. So we'll see in about 2 weeks if there's a spike in cases in Lansing. I don't think there will be, to be honest with you. But the fact of the matter is that nobody didn't get through in that case either. There have been no reports of people that couldn't get through and dying. I did see some people that were, did film some videos that put out that they were looking out their hospital window that were hospital workers that were concerned and upset, and I can understand that. But again, I think understand.
Was it though? We're starting to realize that more of these upset hospital workers are actors that are pretending.
But here's the deal. I think you also have to have I can understand her upsetness about being concerned about people not being able to get through the hospital. But I think that you also have to have a level of concern for those people that are losing their businesses. And when you see people that are rallying for a reason, they didn't get up and drive across the state to Lansing because they just felt like it. They're losing their livelihoods, and they want to protest and say, listen, I want to buy seeds. Of course, Governor Whitmer, there's snow on the ground. No one's buying seeds in the state right now. You're not planting. Well, listen, genius. Lots of folks actually plant those seedlings inside. In those states like New York and Michigan that have a growing season of about 2.5 months, lots of people actually start planting seeds in April when the sun is enough so that they can, get those seedlings started and then move them outside in May or June. But I guess you wouldn't know that, right? Because you have never done anything with your hands, probably, right? She's probably never worked in a business. I don't know much about Governor Whitmer other than she's a tyrant, right? She's acted like a tyrant. She has closed things just out of, spite, it seems. These types of governors and mayors are doing things to punish their constituents that have nothing to do with health. Not being able to buy paint at Home Depot, but yet packing into a Walmart is going to stop anything, right? That's punishing people.
Get ready, folks. Get ready, folks. It's just begun. It's just begun. Those punishments of shutting the parks down and cutting the police officers and get ready. To your point, Glenn, and I can't stress this enough, get ready. The taxes are coming. And if you don't think they're going to be higher in states like New York, these left-wing nut jobs are out of control. De Blasio said it himself. He's going to change the redistribute. He's going to do whatever he has to do. Get ready. And they're going to blame it all on Corona. And not 1 ounce of their salaries will be cut, but you will be punished. I'm sorry. We can't open the parks. Want your street plowed? Oh, I'm sorry. We can't plow your street. Oh, you want to pave your street? Oh, I'm really sorry about that. We don't have any money to do that. My private helicopter to be able to fly back and forth to see if my windmills are working? No problem. That's it. That's good.
By the way, the windmill construction continues in New York.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Sure.
Cuomo is using outside of the state construction workers to do the work. Right? Disgusting. But yeah, we can't do the construction project in our office because that's not essential, right?
Yeah.
Did you see
we should put a windmill on top of the building and sneak them in through that way.
Let me end with two things. Did you see this picture I have up on the screen?
Yes.
This has got to be out of New York City. I don't know where it's from, but this right here sums up the absolute stupidity, right? This sums up the absolute stupidity. Isn't that great?
This is great.
The real
picture,
my God. Right? But this is it. This is the whole virus.
That works for me. If they're okay with that, Glenn, that works for me because I can still go to a Bills game. That's fine. I'll be the X in the back row there in the middle.
Just so dumb. But this right here, this picture sums up the entire ridiculous response to the coronavirus right here. Let me add one more thing before we go. And this is again, you know, the New York Post apparently now is fake news as well. You love this, don't you? Isn't that great? You can't make this shit up.
That sums up every bit of the left right there.
This is almost as good, Mike, as when they installed the solar power garbage cans that open automatically in the subway system underground. None of them work. None of them work, right? I can't make this stuff up.
Right? Literally hundreds of millions of dollars they spent.
They did. Let me just add one last thing here. And this is obviously another fake news piece. This was out of the New York Post. I don't know why the New York Post continues to put fake news out. They used to be really, really good, but they're the ones that put up that picture, by the way, of the Florida beach, whatnot. What they're saying now is testicles may actually make men more vulnerable to coronavirus. Now, I know this is fake news. Let me tell you how I know this is fake news. Well, here's how I know this is fake news. Is because every liberal man seems to be getting the virus, not the conservatives, right? Why is that George Stephanopoulos, Cuomo's brother, right? Tom Hanks? It seems as if, I don't know, it seems like it'd be fake news to me because I don't see a lot of conservatives or a lot of conservative men coming down with the virus. So
testicles have caused a lot of problems in this world, so cut them off.
I'm telling you what.
Neuter them right from the get-go.
One last thing quick. Did you see... I love it. It's the best.
I'll tell you what. If I start getting blue later or something, just if you guys could just send this to me like throughout the day.
Unreal. I mean, you just can't make some. Anyway, was I going to say the one last thing I was going to say? I totally forgot now. It doesn't matter. Anyway.
By the way, we do manage money for a living. If you need help with your portfolio, Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, nonstop helping people diversify. Use this as a resource for sure. Our website, thefinancialguys.com. And you can find all our social media content there as well. Follow us on Twitter. By the way, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. And, like us on YouTube, by the way. That helps us out a ton. We got to get the conservative message out there. Why do we have to get the conservative message out there? Just look at this picture and it'll say everything.
They're removing stuff, right? So Twitter has announced that or Facebook has announced any sort of organization of protest for freedom protest against the coronavirus lockdown will be removed as misinformation. That's what Twitter.
We need to get some tech guys and come up with our own conservative social media.
We just need to build like a blog site off of the Financial Guys. So if you want to organize anything, you just go to our. Other blogs people will go to, but Facebook needs to go away. Twitter, I haven't announced anything yet, and I'm sure they'll go to organizing there. But YouTube just announced that any sort of medical information that's not approved by them is going to be removed as well. So if you go on there and you talk about statistics, I bet you if we went on there and talked about the actual statistics and these studies. They would remove this. So there's very likely. So look, folks, we need to get, as big of a connection together as we can. So, share this with other conservative folks. You can share the podcast very easily. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Share that with your friends as well. And go to our website, again, thefinancialguys.com, for all the information on everything else we do.
Yeah.
You love this picture. I got to put this. So we got to pull this up and put this up somewhere.
It sums up everything they're about, though, right? I mean, that's how they think. That's how they think.
It really is. This is the perfect. This really just highlights the stupidity of the whole response. I've said from the get-go that the response to this coronavirus has been the worst, least thought-out response ever, right? You're going to let everybody pack into a supermarket, but you're not going to let somebody mow your lawn. You're going to pack everybody into a Home Depot, but you're not going to allow them to buy paint, right? You're going to allow people in Michigan to go get abortions, but they can't buy seedlings to start their garden. I mean, this is just lunacy, right? When you look at the response, it's just irresponsible. New York, among other states, could have very easily said, yes, we have to close bars and restaurants. Yes, we have to shut down concerts and large sporting events. No, we're not going to shut down small retail shops where there's likely not more than one person in there. Yeah. We're not going to shut down outdoor industries like construction and landscaping. Right. We're going to really think this through to determine where do we think there's going to be risks to business and where aren't there going to be risks. And we're going to try to do the best we can to leave as much open as possible to minimize the negative economic impact of shutting down too much. But that's not what they did. What they did was, we're all going to die.
Now we know he's wrong if he just says, oh, okay, we can open some of this stuff, right?
Right. Well, they're doubling down on it. Like, now it's June. Now it's, look, we're going to have even the, and I don't know why I've been listening to the University of Washington study, they're so off, but even the University of Washington now says, oh, it looks like it's 60,000 people are going to die now. Yeah. It was 1.2 to 1.7 million just a month ago.
Where are we now? 30?
We're about 40,000. 40,000 people in the United States. That's a lot.
I said, my word, all of a sudden this thing will just go away.
That's how these viruses work, right? Yep. But I love the fact that, and we may or may not know exactly what the true number is, but as Dr. Birx actually put it in a press conference past week, all of the flu's gone now. It's all gone, Mike. She said it herself. Thank God there's no more flu cases. So all those flu cases are just miraculously disappeared. I guess the coronavirus has just pushed the flu right out of the picture. But this thing will drop. We've talked about the studies on Saturday, one out of Israel. When you look at places like Sweden and you look at places like Texas versus places like New York and Michigan that have the draconian lockdowns, there's no difference in the spike and the drop off as far as the way that the virus has spread. Yeah. It just had an impact. Sweden really, and I don't give Sweden a plug oftentimes, but Sweden really did the right thing. They really stopped and thought about what are the really risky things. Let's stop those risky things. But they didn't shut down their entire economy en masse. They shut down very few things, actually. Yep. And they really thought things through. And here's what they said. The doctor that talked about this, the interview that I saw, was like a 60 Minutes Australia interview or something. What the guy said was, look, we believe that we're going to probably have X amount of deaths. We can have X amount of deaths in the next 30 days. Or we can prolong this out over the next 12 months and destroy our economy. But we're going to have the same, you know, X amount of deaths. And so we believe that our healthcare system can actually handle the spike. And
they were right. It's
better just to get it out of the way without destroying our economy. Now, the getting it out of the way with may or may not be the right thing. But the fact of the matter is, for all the liberals out there, and I'm telling you, as of Sunday, Mike, they still think that there are people are doubling up on respirators. They still think that there's people lining the hallways. Let me tell you one quick story, then I'll let everybody go here.
I love when they say the panic of the ambulances are everywhere, but yet when folks go out there like Laura Loomer to try to tape it, she can't find any ambulances, can't find anybody being rushed in, right? Well, of course, they can show you pictures of the body bags. Oh, my God, they've got freezers now. Of course they do. Guess what happens, right? So let's just forget about the coronavirus for a second. Let's just say that we tell everybody you're not allowed to have a wake or a funeral for 4 weeks. What do you think is going to happen?
Right.
My guess is if there's 500 people, which is what 400 to 500 people die every single day in New York City, regardless of the coronavirus, right? If every single day 500 people die and we're not allowed to have a wake or a funeral, what's going to happen? Well, we're going to get freezers. We're going to freeze the bodies until we can say, hey, it's okay to pay respect to these people now. Let's go back and do that. That's the real answer, right? So if the media was at all honest, they would say, look it, these people are not dying in the streets of Corona. Yes, it's a tough virus. Yes, we've got to fight it. Yes, we've got to treat it with, you know, a different level of respect. But let's just be honest with everybody to stop scaring the crap out of people. If they were honest, this would have probably already been half of what it is, a 16th of what it is.
The hospitals at times get overloaded. There are illnesses like the flu and things like that. And I'm going to end with a quick story. About 5 years ago now, maybe a little bit longer, I was down in Florida, at our Florida office, at my house down in Florida. And I went out kayaking on a Friday, I think it was, in MacArthur Park, actually. And on Saturday, I was fine. Sunday, I felt fine. Monday, I woke up and I felt foolish. You know, I really didn't feel well at all. And I don't normally ever get sick. So I, went to my office as I normally would in my home office. And I started working away. And by about 11 o'clock, I just couldn't work anymore. I was just really feeling horrible. And that's not like me. Like, I can almost work through anything, right? So I ended up going to lay down and I was pretty much out for the rest of the day. Well, that night I could feel this pain in my ankle moving up my leg. And by the time I woke up on Tuesday morning, I had a red streak up the inside of my leg. And so my wife called the doctor. The doctor said, go immediately to the emergency room. Well, I got to the emergency room and right away they looked at me and they took some blood samples and they said, oh my God, you have a blood infection. You had a bacteria got into a cut in your leg. Like you hear about, like people die within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And they said, the staph infection has started this, cellulitis inside of the deep tissue infection, which has now infected your blood. And that red stripe is the infection now moving to your waist. And if you hadn't come to the hospital, once this thing moves past your waist, if it gets to your heart, you're dead. You probably have about 12 hours before that happens. I'm like, oh, great. What do I do? Right. So, well, you have to be in the hospital for the next 4 days on intravenous antibiotics. It's the only way to fight this. And we have to pump you full of like four different kinds of antibiotics. I said, okay. They said, but here's the problem. We're full. You know where they treated me, Mike? I was in the hallway of the emergency room at Jupiter Medical because every single bed in the hospital was full and every single emergency room bed was full. You know what they were filled with? They were filled with old folks in Florida that had the flu. The hospital was overloaded that year because it was a bad flu year. Yes, every hospital bed was full. Yes, every emergency room was full to the point that I had a wildly dangerous blood infection that could kill me in the next 12 hours. And I was able to talk my way out of the hospital. My wife had left to pick up our kids from school. She would have never let me leave, but I did. I was able to talk my way out of the hospital, agreeing to go to a specialty doctor that treated these types of infectious diseases. And I had to have extremely painful shots over the next 4 to 5 days. And then antibiotics for the next month. My ankle swelled up to this. I couldn't walk for almost a month. Yep. But there was no pandemic at the time. The hospital was full. I had a very dangerous, life-threatening blood infection that they needed to treat me for. And they couldn't even get me into a room because of the flu.
And we're laying off. We're paying people $600 extra a week to sit at home if you worked at Wendy's and got laid off. But yet we are sending nurses and doctors home all around the country and furloughing them because apparently we don't need them. It makes absolutely zero sense.
That's this picture right here. The point is our hospitals at times get overloaded with certain things.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's the flu. Sometimes it's other things. But we have an incredible healthcare system in most states that can flex, right? We can shift people around. As Governor Cuomo very, very astutely put it, we take patients from hospitals that are overloaded.
Loaded, yeah. Move them to the ones that are.
Move them to hospitals that are not as full.
Genius.
Anyway.
That's leadership right there. Wrap it up with that because you don't get smarter than that. You don't.
No, that's pure.
That's better than this. That's better than that. Yeah.
No doubt. All right. Well, listen, folks. Again, please share this with your friends. Like it on Facebook, wherever you're at, or on YouTube, or subscribe, or I don't know, whatever you're supposed to do. But help us out and follow this. We're going to do the best we can to make this as big as a radio show. We do a radio show, by the way, every Saturday from 1 to 2. We've done that for 22 years. We're just moving into the podcast world. And I want to make the podcast as big as the radio shows have been. We've been, radio talk show hosts, conservative talk show hosts for 22 years. So, again, if you like it, share it with your friends. Give us a like. Give us a thumbs up. Subscribe. And we certainly appreciate it. So that's going to do it for us this week, folks. On behalf of Mike Lomas, I'm Glenn Wiggle with The Financial Guys. And we'll talk to you on Saturday and next week on the podcast as well. Appreciate you listening.